Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the joy, Lord, that you bring with your Spirit, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for laughter. We thank you, Lord, for just that you draw our hearts as one to want to just be in your presence, Lord. And that's what we ask for this morning, Lord. Let your presence just reign over this entire building. Every person that is here today, Lord, stir the hearts, Lord. You are doing some good things, Lord. There is new wineskins that are being exploding now, Lord, and we ask for that this morning, Lord. Let the flow of your wine, the flow of your living water, Lord, just flow out of all of us, Lord. You have placed so much within us, Lord. Let it be that we cannot contain what you've placed within us, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, and we say amen, and we're ready to worship, worship team.
You know, the difference maker between just believing in a God and following a religion and knowing who He is and seeing Him move in your life on a regular basis is the Holy Spirit. It really is. See, as we spend time worshiping, going after, just enjoying the presence of God, it allows for Him to speak to us and give us things that we wouldn't otherwise have. See, the Bible talks a lot about the mysteries of the kingdom, but it also talks about how they're given to us. See, because the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us and give us things that we didn't see and we didn't realize before. It's really the equipping that's happening in our life, right? See, as we're going through things and as He's moving in our life, He's building us up and He's showing us new things all the time. It's why it doesn't matter if you're little Ben running around up here or somebody who's been in the church for a long time. He's got something new all the time. See, and it's about the pursuit, right? Whew. I really feel. We have a generation of kids that they're not going to see a boundary of, well, maybe God will do this and maybe He won't do that. For them, it's going to be He's going to do it all. Because they're going to run after Him so hard and have a pursuit that's so on fire that it's not going to matter what they see or what's happening. But see, that's the thing, is that it's for all of us. It's about the pursuit. How much do you want it? How much do you want to go after what He has for you? How much do you want to spend time in the presence of God? How much do you want to hear His voice in your life? How much do you want to see more than just a regular, I'll go to church on Sunday and make it through the week? See, as we press in and we push forward after Him, He gives us more. He places more within us. He shows us. It's an overflowing. Just like the Bible talks about that he'll spring up springs of living water in the dry places. See, that's the thing. He doesn't want you to be dry. He wants to give you an overflowing. He wants to give you a fountain that's just pouring in and never ending. And it all comes by building that relationship with Him, going after Him, and allowing Him to show us who He is and what and who we are in Him.
as we're singing, I just want to be where you are. I just feel this tranquil peace. Isn't God so true to be a God of peace and love? When we just need that secret place, and when we just meet Him there, we get all our needs fulfilled and even more. It's like He fills us up. He fills us up with His love and His Spirit. And there's nothing more beautiful than our Lord filling us up. So He took me to Isaiah 40 as I was singing this song. We need to take that time to go to the secret place. And in Isaiah 40, it says, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And this is what He gives us in that secret place, that strength that we need. And all our weariness just dissipates. It just disappears. All to God's glory, for it's Him who does it all. He is our King of Kings, and we do love Him. And we love that secret place where He gives us strength, and we can soar on eagle's wings. Amen.
Y'all, it has been a month. The devil has attacked my family again. My 26-year-old granddaughter was assaulted in a Walmart parking lot in broad daylight, and nobody helped. But she is doing better. My month-old great-granddaughter had to spend 2 days in the hospital on antibiotic IV. They never determined what kind of virus she had. My leg, my simple biopsy that they told me was going to be okay, it's gonna be okay. And I stand on that, and I rebuke this out of my body. It's been way too long, and this hole in my leg needs to heal. It needs to heal. I know it will. I know I'm getting anxious, but I have been so blessed, not just by y'all, this loving church family that I belong to, and I am proud to say I belong to y'all. Just different things in my life are just coming together. I have found me some employment, which will help with my finances immensely, and I don't even have to do but walk across the street or walk through my backyard. I have been so, so blessed. So with that, I just want to continue praising God through my storms. These two shall pass. And just wait till it's done. And I will be back to myself and pouring myself back into everybody's life, whether you want me or not.
Well, I stood up here about a year ago telling you about our friend of 37 years just turning on us, trying to turn my father-in-law against me, turning our children against me. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I did have to let go of that friendship, of course. But this is what the Lord told me. He said, "Sometimes I remove people from your life because I hear what they say behind your back. I hear those conversations." So I just wanted you to know that, because He doesn't want us to just have a good life. He wants us to have the best life. The best. So I wanted to share that with you.
tell you what he saw a week ago, Sunday?
It was probably 2-3 weeks ago. And you know how some songs inspire you and others really inspire you? So we were, it was one of the, it was the song Gratitude by Brandon Lake. And we were standing back there just enjoying the song. I closed my eyes. And when I opened them, I saw nothing but angels all the way up here in the front, just praising the Lord. And I closed my eyes again, and all I heard a voice say, just relax. And when I opened my eyes up again, they were gone. So it's an inspirational testimony, and it turned my whole day around.
Yes, I insisted my husband share that because I prayed for 35 years for him to be saved, for him to come out of religion and to know that Jesus is alive and Jesus loves him, and it's a relationship. Like I may have told you, I'd get up in the night, I'd wash and anoint his head, hands, and feet, and claim that he would want to know Jesus and that he would see visions and dreams, and he has been this year. Thank you, Jesus. So recently, from what Elena said, the Lord showed me that he's pouring. I said, oh, that's nice. It's not near me. Then he showed me putting my cup where he is. I want to be where he is. And when I put my cup under there, he was basically saying, how much do you want? Do you believe me for little? Do you believe me for half full or half empty? Do you believe me for overflow? And everywhere I've been to church, and I have taken flack for this, but I said, I want enough this year, Lord. I don't want just enough for me. I don't want just enough for my home and my marriage. I want overflow when I go to the grocery store. I want overflow, my dogs, my home, my finances, my friends, my family, everything. And I said, I want all my family saved. I don't want any of them to perish. I don't care if they're religion, bring them out of religion. And as long as I stayed there with him, guess what he did? He poured himself in. And I said, Lord, the day that he saw angels, I came dancing up this way because I could see and sense angels were flooding in here. Angels of healing, angels of wisdom, angels of truth, angels of righteousness, angels of protection. And I said, Lord, not all songs are that anointed. But when Rachel was singing and in the spirit, where'd she go? Is it right? No, Rebecca, excuse me, Lord. Rebecca was singing. I could feel the anointing on her voice, her tongue, her heart. And that when she sang it from the deepest place, and we can sing from the deepest place, not just religion, that he hears our hearts, he collects our tears, and he pours them out in blessing. So you missed Friday night. It was a wonderful praise time. And we sang this song, and we felt the presence of the Lord again. So the anointing is on this song. I don't know if anybody agrees. Say amen. Okay. So what I did was I let go of offense Friday night that I said I repent and I apologize to the Lord for being injured by the church and then not using my gift anymore. I said, Lord, I need you to give it back. I need you to purge me, cleanse me with hyssop so that when I serve for the kingdom, not for religion or any denomination, that I serve for you, Jesus. And then we went to the fitness center. A lady had, she's 80 years old. She had a COVID shot and it was swollen and hurting. And I said, just a minute. I put my hand on it. Remember, man of God? My husband put his hand on mine. And I said, Lord, basically don't let this COVID shot have a negative effect. And she said she felt electricity fly up and down her body. And I asked the Lord to take the Parkinson's as well. So her name is Joyce, in case you guys want to pray for her. I pray this all through Christ. Amen.
Okay. The Lord put this on my heart. I want to share a scripture as a final exhortation.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God will transcend all your understanding. And it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
We're singing this Friday night, and the Lord reminded me of a word called, the word is tevek. And it's an Old Testament word, it's a Hebrew word, and it means among. But it also means to cut and to be among. Is that okay? And I reminded folks about how you cook your roast. And when you want that flavoring and that seasoning, how many of you cut your roast? You put a little slice in there and shove a piece of garlic in there. Is that right? Anybody ever done that? That's the idea of tevek. And God in the Old Testament, he told Moses, build me a tabernacle that I might dwell tevek among them. Isn't that cool? But then they disobeyed God, and they got a little out, and the Lord told Moses, build my house. He said, put my tabernacle on the outside of the camp. And Moses would go over there and visit with God, and they'd watch the cloud come down, and the presence of God would be there with Moses. It's kind of a heartbreaking thing to know that God wants to be with you, but you just don't pay attention to what he's doing. So he has to move on the outside. And then, you know, Jesus has done something really great for us. Can you say amen? He has washed us and cleansed us of everything, every offense, anything that's contrary to God. He's washed us and cleansed us. Do you know that? Are you confident that's what God has done for you? Through the death of his son. Is that all right? That's a great thing. It really is. And I said this song here, if you look at the words, I believe that God might be singing this to us. I'm going to change the words a little bit. Don't get excited, okay? I'll change the words a little bit. Maybe God will be singing to us, is there's nowhere I'd rather be. While you're singing to me, is that okay? I just want to be here with you. This is God saying it to us. I just want to be with you. He says, I'm not really a mystery. Can you say amen? Because God has given all the mysteries of the kingdom to us. He said, I've given them to you. I'm not that much of a mystery, he says. He says, I'm found in your love for me. When you love on the Lord, you just go to him and say, God, I just love you. I love you, Lord. I just want to say that to you. I want to spend some time with you. And the mysteries of the kingdom begin to come into your heart. You begin to know and to understand all these things that God wants to do with you. This is a personal thing. This is a one-on-one with Jesus Christ, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, him speaking to you. Because he wants to be with us. He's not just I'll go to Sunday school and Sunday and maybe Wednesday night, maybe Friday night, maybe I'll be with God in the morning. No, this is an everyday thing. Come on over, Eddie. Eddie, you can come over. Come on over. This is an everyday thing. This is something that God wanted. He goes, I want to be with you. And how many know that God is always with us? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's never gonna abandon us, but he wants us to go after him. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Did you want to say something?
Yes, sir.
Come with the microphone for him. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, guys.
He told me as he was coming out, he goes, "Hey, I got something I want to say." Hallelujah. I'm lost.
Hello, you guys know we're in the best place right now, right? And faith and worship is very powerful. So I hardly never do testimonies because they got me in a cage.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm gonna try and make it briefly. I was looking for work one day, and this man, he offered me to go work with him landscape. So he said, "Get ready, I'll pick you up at 6 o'clock in the morning." He picked me up, and I thought it was going to be a whole crew. They were just me and him. So we went to a house to do some landscaping. When we got there, he said, "Look, I'm going to weed eater, and you just get the garbage can and pick up behind me. Put the garbage in the trailer." So we went, but before that, I was singing a Christian song, and he says, "Do you believe in God?" I said, "Yeah." "Why, don't you?" He said, "No. When you die, that's it. There's no heaven, there's no hell. You die, and that's it." I said, no. "No way." So we left it right there. So we kept working. He went around the house, and I was raking, and all of a sudden, he comes around the corner. He was infested of bees, African bees, his whole body. I couldn't see his clothes, everything completely. So I said, "What do? I got my hat, and I went at him. There were too many. I couldn't do nothing. I got stung many times, so I just ran. I ran for my life. And then 40 minutes later, 35 minutes later, he was dead. And he didn't believe in God. So I don't know, he went to heaven or he went to hell. I'll leave it up to you guys. God bless you."
Amen. Thank you, Eddie. I'm going to be a preacher one of these days. Praise God. Yeah, I'll tell you, those questions are up to God. Sometimes you never know. We never know what happens, how God deals with somebody in those last moments, because all souls are His. Can you say amen? Everybody. Yeah, I don't know who you are. I don't care who you are. You belong to God, whether you believe it or not. It's the truth. And the Word says that we will all give an account. Amen. Best to do it now. Is that right? Do it now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about water. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. I appreciate it. The music. And I'm going to take you the Word of God. How many like summertime here in Arizona? Anybody like summertime? How many get thirsty in the summertime here in Arizona? Anybody? And how many of you like even hot water tastes good when you're super thirsty. Is that right? Even water that's been sitting out, man, just give me that thing, man. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit today about thirst-quenching well water. Not just regular, but well water. We'll talk about well water. How many of you actually have a well that you're drinking out of? There's Randy, myself, Scott, yeah. And there's something about well water that's a little different. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, it's not filtered. Oh, yeah, praise God. Here we go, what? Yeah, well, some folks put filters on it. I don't put filters on our water. We got well water, and we like it the way it is. My wife makes iced tea. Anybody like iced tea in the summer? Yeah. Well, she makes iced tea. And from what I've heard, a bunch of people, what do you do to your tea? How do you make your tea that way? My daughter goes home to her house, makes tea, and it just doesn't work out that right. Is that right? It just doesn't work out. And I used to say, well, it's the love. But now my daughter said, no, it's the well water. Amen. Praise God. But we're going to talk about thirst-quenching water. Amen. Thirst crunching well water. So if you will, let's go to our Bibles to Genesis chapter 26. We're going to start at verse 6. Praise God. Praise God. I will tell you, my granddaughter had a birthday party at my house last night. And, wow, I'm still feeling it. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Great time. Had a lot of young people over at the house, and just, and I really do believe in the youth. I really do. I was a youth pastor 15 years, and I love young people. I was telling somebody one day, I go, I'd rather be a youth pastor than a what I'm doing. And I don't know if that's a good thing to say, but I just do. I like dealing with young people. I like kidding around with them. They look, there was just the other day, there was a young man standing by the, where you come out of the bath, where you go into the bathrooms right there. He was standing, and the people he were with were talking, and he's doing some kind of a weird thing with his legs. So when I come out, and I'm standing there looking at him, and then the other people, they started looking at me, and they saw that he was doing that. And he turned around, and he just got real. Well, he got a little embarrassed. I told him, hey, bro, I said, you know what? Come on Sunday, man. We can use you like that. Can you say amen? Yeah. I said, show some folks that you do a little hip action or whatever, you know, come on, man. But you know, hey, man, you know, we are alive for Christ. Amen. We believe in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I really do, folks, I really do believe this. If you're a stand and watch kind of person, man, you're going to feel a little bit out of place when we're standing in front of the throne worshiping God, man. I believe it's going to be pretty much an exciting, thrilling thing, better than any football. I was at a baseball game just a few weeks ago, man, and I couldn't believe how alive they were for a lousy foul ball. That's a foul ball. Yeah. Come on, man. Get out of here, man. Yeah. And in church, we're a little different, aren't we? Shame on you. Come on, man. Why? That's right. That's exactly right. Why? But anyway, so Genesis chapter 26, down to verse 6. The word of God says this, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she's my sister. I think his dad almost did the same thing. But anyways, he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Wow, isn't that cool? Fair to look on. How many know some people are nicer to look at than others? Is that right? I used to feel like the others. Yeah, I still do. But I said, and it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Sporting. Rosie, come here, babe. Come here. Get up here. Come here. Hurry. Everybody say, come on, Rosie. Come on, Rosie. Get up here. Come on, man. Yeah. When King Abimelech looked out. Come here. Come over here. So, stand right there, baby. What did it say right there? Hold on a minute. She's fair to look on. Yeah, anyway. But when Abimelech looked out and he saw them sporting, you think he was doing this? Come on. I don't think that would have said the message. I don't think that would have given them the message. Maybe they were doing this. Come here. Maybe they're doing that. I don't think it. Can brother and sister actually hold hands too? Yeah. They must have been doing something different. Is that right? They might have. Thank you, baby. She's going to be mad at me. Hey, but when he looked out, he goes, hey, that ain't his sister. Amen? That's not his sister. And that's what he said. Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, for sure she is your wife. And how sayest thou that she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." And Abimelech said, "What is this that you've done to us? For one of the people might have lightly lain with your wife, and you should have brought guiltiness upon us." See, there back then, there was an amount of, hey, these are right things and these are wrong things. And here he's saying, man, you know what? Somebody might have courted her and got her, that would have been bad for us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying that, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. To him, it was a very serious thing. Can you say amen? Praise God. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. I will tell you, when God is on you, when God is for you, there's nobody can be against you. Can you say amen? And this man is being blessed by God right now. This is the man that his dad took him up on a mountain to sacrifice him to God, because God told him, "I want you to sacrifice your son." Just before he was able to do that, the Lord stopped him and said, "Hey, man, because you've done this, Abraham, I will place my blessing on your family and your descendants." How many of you know that you're a descendant of God? Anyone that believes in God, you're a descendant. And his blessing is on you. Sometimes it might not feel like it, but that's okay. You keep praising God. You keep worshiping God because his blessing is on you. Amen? And he said, so he became very great, for he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Envy of the world. Folks, you know, the body of Christ, the people that are serving God, we should be the envy of the world. When they see how well our Father loves us. Can you say amen to that? He loves us, folks. He really does. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." Looking at this guy, man, and he says, "Hey, you need to leave here because you're growing bigger than what we are." And Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. So he's unstopping all these wells. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found a well of springing water. A source, a well that had a mighty source where this water just come flowing out. Can you say amen to that? On its own. On its own. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "Hey, that's our water. Come on, man. We just unplugged it." "No, that's our water." Did Isaac bother to fight with them? Watch what it says. It says, "The water is ours," and he called the name of the well Essek, because they strove with him. They went and told him, "Hey, this is our water." Isaac said, can you say amen? Can you see an attitude that Isaac has towards his God? Where he says, "Yeah, okay, I'll give it to you, whatever." And they digged another well and strove for that also. These guys down there, man, it's all our water. And he called the name of it Sitnah, enmity. And he removed from there and digged another well. And for that, they did not strive. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Can you see his language? He even talks about him. Well, the Lord is now the Lord has made room for us. Can I tell you, when God gave this building to us, he made room for us. Is that right? Yeah. I mean, you just don't get $1 million, $2 million, $1.5 million building for nothing. God gives things like that. Can you say amen to that? And you think that he can't pay your bill? You think that he can't watch over you and take care of you? Come on, man. We serve, listen to his language. He goes, God made room for us. And we will what? Be fruitful in the land. That's what we are. That's who we are. And he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Isaac was a well-digging guy. Can you say amen? There was something about wells that Isaac liked. There's something about water that he liked. Can you say, when you got a lot of herds, you're going to need water. Amen. So let's look ahead, guys. Let's get out there and dig some wells. Amen. How many of you know there's a well in you?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, we're going to get there. Well, just a minute. Ooh. And his servant, Isaac's servants, digged a well. And Abimelech, the king that had thrown him out of Gerar, remember that? He went from Gerar and Ahuzai, one of his buddies, one of his friends, one of his pals, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said to him, wherefore you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with you. We saw that the Lord was with you. Evidence that God, the mighty God, the only God, is with you. Can you say amen to that? Evidence. Hallelujah. And he said, let there be now an oath between us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, but have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. Isaac made them a feast, they ate and drink. You know what I like about this? Isaac didn't say, well, yeah, your herdmen took my wealth. We dug them up, and they took them. He didn't say anything like that, did he? He didn't mean bring it up. Huh. Folks, this is an attitude of a heart that trusts the Lord. He trusts his God. It's his attitude. So therefore, his attitude even showed that just, hey, yeah, they did him wrong. I would say that I know if it was my water, if it was a wellspring, if it was feeding on its own, I would have said, hey, wait a minute. Let me go find my pocket knife. I'm going to fight you over it. No, let's do an arm wrestle. Let's do an Indian arm wrestle. My wife's laughing because she knows I can't find my pocket knife most of the time. But anyway. But he didn't even bother to say, hey, you know what? You guys treated us wrong. What do you mean you didn't hurt us? What do you mean you didn't do us no ill? What are you talking about? So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank, and they rose up in the morning and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told them concerning the well which they had digged. They said, we found water. Guess what? The water. We've got it. And he called it Sheba, which therefore is the name of the city, Beersheba. Sheba is the word Sheba means an oath. Beersheba. Beer is not what you guys think beer is. Beer means a well. The well of an oath. That's all it is. The well of an oath. And you see how God responds to well living. There's a catch there. Did you hear it? To well living. Living at the well. Can you say amen? God responds to well living. Write that down. He responds to well. Praise God. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. I want to take you now to John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus and had baptized, therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria, and he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, and there cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then said the woman of Samaria to him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria?" She wasn't used to this kind of, she knows Jews hated Samaritans. And she goes, "So how is it that you're asking me for water? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God," this is, folks, this is one of the things I want to talk to you, if you know the gift of God. Jesus told his followers right before he left, wait for the promise. Wait for the gift. Is that right? Let me just, the gift is the Holy Ghost. That's the gift.
Amen.
That is the gift. That holds all the other gifts that we read about in the scriptures. It is the Holy Spirit that operates in all of those gifts. You'll have some people say, "Well, I'm a what? Prophet? I'm a prophet." Yeah, okay. "Do you speak in tongues?" "No, I don't believe in that stuff." Well, come on, man. Another one said, "Hey, I give words of knowledge." "Oh, really?" Yeah. Do you pray in the Spirit?" "Oh, no, I don't do that." The gift is the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? I mean, all encompassing, all the actions of God on the earth are through the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? The scriptures say it this way: it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So we got to understand that what Jesus might be talking about here, he's talking about a source. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. Talking about a source. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Yeah. This is an unprovoked flow. Can you say amen to that? It is a fountain like that one that they, it just flowed. The water just flowed up out of it. "The woman said to him, 'Sir, thou have nothing to draw with.'" You ain't got nothing. "And the well is deep. From whence then have you that living water?" "Are you greater than our father, which Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again." Verse 11 is our power verse. It says, "But whoso drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Isn't that good?
Amen.
The water that I will give him. Is that what he says? "The water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He's talking about the gift. He's talking about the source. Can you say amen? this well that's within you. Every one of you, how many of you are believers here? Anybody not a believer? Let's ask it that way. No, you're not a believer. Anybody? Anyone sing that song? I'm not a believer. I couldn't see her if I tried. I don't remember that song. I think it was a monkey song. Is that right? Yeah. You call me a monkey after church, and we're gonna. Just kidding. We're gonna. Yeah. Go to John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. Look at this. John 7, verse 37 through 39 says this. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me," how many believe?
Amen.
As the scripture has said, "out of thy belly shall flow rivers of living water." Can you say amen to that? Anybody that believes. This is why, folks, this is why I preach. This is why I speak to people. I said, listen, if you give your heart to the Lord, oh, the well's there. You just need to learn how to tap into it. Can you say amen to that? You know, the water could be very deep. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
But the more you do it, the more that you pray in the Spirit, the easier it comes up. Can anybody say, yeah, I get that?
Amen.
Something touches you, something hurts your heart a little bit, up flows this river of living water. Can you say amen to that? That's what I want.
Amen.
I don't want to say, well, God, well, how could you let this happen to me? Well, God, the devil. So I'm not a devil believer. He likes to hear his name spoken in this building. He's always wanted that. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. Do you know that? He wanted to be above the Most High. And sometimes the way you look around churches, they're talking about him like he's some kind of an issue. He is no issue. No issue. The gift of God. This is what we need to be looking at. Can you say amen? Let me just say this to you. Churches have done shouldn't say it that way, should I? Well, I guess I'll say it anyway. Because I don't feel like the Holy Spirit checking me out. But I will say this to you. Churches in our world today have done a great job. They've done a great job of quenching the Holy Ghost. Some folks won't even say the Holy Spirit is even an element. Someone, if you pray in the Spirit in their house, they're going to tell you, don't do it again, or we're going to ask you to leave. It's amazing to me. Christians have done a great job. Well, my gift is prophecy. My gift is healing. Wrong. All of that comes via the Holy Ghost. Every bit of it. And drawing from the well is what I feel the Lord is saying to us. Are you drawing? Are you using that simple gift that I've given to you within you? Can you say amen to that? We have become, you know, I even heard one guy say, well, you know, that is foolishness. Babbling. That's foolishness. I've heard that. But you see, the Word of God also corrects us with that because he says the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And God says, I have given you a gift. So you see, you can't understand. We don't, like we said, I said it last week, we don't even know what's before us. Well, I'm sorry. We don't know what's coming towards us, but God does. We don't know anything until it gets right in front of us. Can you say amen to that? Then all of a sudden we know. Oh yeah. This is why praying in the Spirit is so important to us. Can you say amen? Because it opens up our lives before God. You might not even know what you're saying. But God knows what you're saying. He's praying through you. Can you say amen? This is the gift. It is the same God that created the heavens and the earth with what words? He said, let there be light. Well, that's English. Say it in Spanish, Johnny.
Que haya luz.
Did he say it in Spanish? Did he say it in English? Did he say it in French? Did he say it in German? Did he say it in pig Latin? What did he say? How did he say it? He said it in a heavenly language is what he said. He said in a language that is of his kingdom. Let there be light. And there was light. So when you're speaking in tongues, and folks don't like a lot of this type of kind of preaching. When you're speaking in tongues, could it be that the creativity of God is speaking through you? Amen. To bring those that blessing of being the light of the gospel in the earth. See, we're meant to be a blessing, folks.
Amen.
We're meant to rub elbows with those that don't even know him. Because of our light, because of who we are. Who knows what God will do? Amen? Let him do it. Don't try to do it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure out 10 steps of how to lead somebody. The Roman road. How many ever heard of the Roman road? That's how you lead somebody to the Lord. I found out that when I tried doing that, it didn't mean anything. It's the word of God. But I found out that just speaking to them and whatever God places in my heart, say it to them. I had a young lady in my youth group. I'm going to tell you, her name was Leanne. She had a boyfriend and us, and youth group was over, and I told her, hey, Leanne, whatever you do, don't smoke. And she doesn't smoke. She looked at me, she goes, is that the right girls? Is that the way they do it? I don't smoke. Why would you say something like that to me? There was a source. Because she come back the next week and she's weeping, she's crying. She goes, my boyfriend took me to a party. And he was trying to get me to smoke. And it wasn't cigarettes. Yeah. And he's trying to get me to smoke. And she goes, and all I can remember is what you said, Leanne, don't smoke.
Amen.
You see, it is a source of wisdom and understanding that we don't get it. Why not? Because he tells, I will pray in the spirit, not pray in my own understanding. I'll sing in the spirit, not sing in my own understanding. So we sing, but sing in the spirit. And allow God to speak things to your life. Amen? Could we be limiting him by just going on our own wisdom? Could we be limiting the God that wants to invade our life and cause blessing and prosperity in our lives for us to be the light of the gospel? Could it be that we're hindering him because we won't use that basic gift that he's given us to use? Because it's foolishness. I had somebody tell me, say, hey, you're going to do that to yourself. I said, I'm not doing it to myself. I'm doing it to him. Shut me up if you try to shut me up. Ask Rosie. Try to shut me up. I'll get up in the middle of the night and my life is, oh, boy. Okay, Lord, let me go to sleep. Oh, man. I really believe, folks, that God is speaking to this morning. He has given us his son, but his son has passed on a gift that is to build us and strengthen us. Don't resist it. Allow yourself to be involved with who he is and what he's doing. Can you say amen to that? It's the time is over, folks. The time is over. You see, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Can you say amen to that? He has sent his son to sanctify the church. Can you say amen to that? To set us apart. He sent us the Holy Ghost. Did I say his son? He sent us the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It says in Hebrews that he's sitting there waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. to wear our feet on this thing that we call all these things that are going on around us. That we don't call them anymore. Well, it's the devil hurting me now. Or we say, well, you know, what it is God is working in our lives to show us that he, look, I'm for you. I'm not against you. Those things that might be hurting you, they're talking to you. They're speaking to you. They're saying something into your life. Let them speak. Ask me. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open to you. Ask me, seek me, and knock and watch that I'll open these things to you so you know and you understand that I am working for you and I'm not against you. I love you. That's what he's saying. It's a water that flows on its own, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. I want you to look at this scripture. It says this: drink waters out of your own cistern. That'll teach you something. He said, hey, what I teach you, drink those and don't drink anything else. Out of your own cistern, running waters out of your own well. And then he says that, let your fountains be dispersed abroad. Is that right? And rivers of waters in the streets. What God said over this house was that out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, taking rivers of living water into the city, into the streets. Living water, folks. What's he taught? What did Jesus call it? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come on, man. Hallelujah. The Bible says 2 plus 2 is 12. One of these days you might get what I'm talking about here. But when God begins to flow through you, it compounds things. It brings blessing upon blessing, blessing upon, it begins to unroll things for you because he is for you and not against you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to show you something. He's trying to give you what he wants for you. He wants to take you someplace. You continue, Brother Abe, continue to be a servant where you're at, just like you have been. And you watch. The blessing of the Lord is going to come upon your business, upon that, what do you want to call it? Abe, he's watching you. He is watching you. And he's seen your heart. And he's seen the promotions that have gone over and gone to others rather than you. He's seen it. And he's saying, I watched you, son. And you're going to be blessed. Things are going to open. He's going to open things. Because the wisdom and the understanding that comes flowing out, he's going to minister to all those folks in there. It ain't over, folks. I don't care how old you are. It ain't over. The well is there. The well is there. The source is here. Hallelujah. Drink waters from your own cistern. If Jesus has taught you anything, go over those things. Don't worry about what I'll say it. I'll put myself in that. Don't worry about what I say. Don't worry about what those prophets and all those other guys that are out there. Who cares? What Jesus says, focus on that thing. Let him compound those things in your heart. Let him speak the things that he has been speaking. You know, who cares what he's saying to everybody else? What's he saying to you? What is he saying to you? Allow him to speak to you. Don't use others. If you look at the next verse, show them the next verse on this, Liz, please. I'm going to read this. Drink waters out of your... No, I'm sorry. Not that one. But can you go back to that? I really debated on this next scripture. The one, it would be verse 17 here. I really debated on it. And I said, oh, maybe not. But I'm going to show you. Drink waters out of your own cistern, running waters out of your own well. Let your fountains be dispersed and rivers of waters in the streets. See, this is what God is pouring into you. Liz, is it okay? Almost? This is going to be the next scripture. It's coming. There it is. Verse 17. Yeah, this is a good one too. But here it is. What God has given you, just use those that he's given you. It says, let them be your own and not strangers with you. Do you see what I say? There are people that go around quoting prophets. There are people going, God is saying to you, you speak that. Let that be your source. Can you say amen to that? Folks, I'm not kidding you. God is saying, I am the only source to you. I'm the only source. I like reading other books. Yeah, I like looking at other stuff. But I will tell you, I always go back to what Jesus has been talking to me about. I always do. I don't allow some of those other things because I don't want to be distracted from what he's saying to me by what he's saying to others, and it has nothing to do with me. Can you say amen to that? He wants a personal relationship. You read it on our window out there, but he wants a personal relationship with you and you alone. And you shouldn't be going around quacking off other things that you don't know about because just some other guy. Did I say quacking? I did. I did say quacking, did I? You shouldn't be doing that. What he speaks to you, speak those things. Because if you'll do that, when you're in front of somebody that needs something, you'll speak what he's speaking to you. You won't be trying to go through your file. What did Jimmy Swaggart say here? What did Benny Hinn say right here, man? No, you're not going to be going through your files. You're going to be going, this is what Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will be, because you've been walking and flowing in the flow of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? Drink waters out of your own cistern. Psalm 84, I love this one. I'm going to end with this. It says this, how amiable are thy tabernacles. That word amiable means able. I love your tabernacle, Lord. How amiable are they, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Anybody ever been there? Your heart and your flesh cry out. I said, God, I need you. Yea, the sparrow has found a house and the swallow, these are birds, a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even in your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He said, even birds, man, the birds. I imagine he's looking, he's seeing these birds and they're making nests inside the temple. And he's going, man, that's a place to, how many of you know, to live in the temple is a good place to be. And you say, man, in the presence of God, let's just say that. And he's looking at him, he said, man, they made a nest. And he says, blessed are they that dwell in your house. Amen? They shall be still praising you. Selah. Think about it. Then he says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart are the ways of them. Talking about those birds. His heart is in the way of those birds that are living in the presence of God. Can you say amen to that? That's all right. And then he says, who passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a one. The rain also fills the pools. I mean, this is kind of a strange scripture. But it says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Mija. You're in a valley of Baca right now, Mija. I saw it this morning. You'll see what I'm about to say. But just dig in. Dig in the well. Go to the Lord. Pray in the Spirit now. Okay. Who passing through the valley of Baca. Baca is the word tears. Passing, I like the word through. Don't you like that word? Yes. I'm going through this valley, man.
Yes.
I'm going through this, passing through the valley of tears. While you're going through this valley of tears, dig a well. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Allow the Spirit of God. Let those tears, it says, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. Those tears. You know, the Word of God says, they that sow in tears. Is that right? Shall reap in what? Is that just something they made up?
No.
Or is it something that is factual and is what we call truth? It is truth. Sow in tears, reap in joy. Oh, hallelujah. The rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. Oh, Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear. O Lord, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed. For a day in thy courts is better, what, than how many? Than 1,000. One day in his courts. Can you say amen? How about every day in his courts? How good will that be? Every day in his courts. You can get there from here. Can you say amen to that? The courts are not so much in this house. They're in your heart. Wherever you're at, in your pickup. Is that right? In your closet. Is that right? At your job. A day in his courts are better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. Can you say amen? For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Is that right? He's a sun and a shield. He places light on everything. Everything going on in your life, he's going to show you. Light, he'll bring it to you. Ask him about it, he'll bring it to you. He's not trying to hide anything from you. He's a light, he's a sun and a shield. How many like shields? The Holy Spirit is a shield. That's why I wanted I pray in the Spirit a lot. Because let me just say this to you. If you're going to be a pastor today in this world, you better be called by God. You better have a calling on you. You know without a doubt that it's Him calling you to be a pastor. Am I right, Pastor John? Because today is not an easy day to play around. You got so many ideas. You got so many people looking at the internet. You got so many ideas out there. You better be called and you better give the truth when God gives you the truth. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't know why that came out, but I'll tell you what, I felt it. And maybe he's talking to me. Henry, you better tell him. For the Lord is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. And there's no other good thing that I know. I'd say that is the gift of God, what he's given to the body of Christ. It is the ability to pray, to allow him to pray through you, to be in such a connection with God where he's praying through you. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord God of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in you. How many trust God? Then the word of God just got through telling you, you're blessed. No matter what you go through, no matter what's happening, you are blessed. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? Are you okay being blessed? Is that right? Oh, no, I just want to be humble. Yeah, well, be blessed and be humble if you want. Yeah, but you are blessed and God has great things for you. I feel like the Lord wants me to pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning. I sense it like I sense it. I feel the Holy Spirit is saying that there's also some of you that are going to get a fresh refreshing of the Holy Ghost. Because God is doing a work that is unlike anything we've ever seen in our lives before. Can you say amen to that? And he needs the body of Christ in the connection. Can you say amen to that? Could you all stand real quick? Hallelujah. Praise God. If there's anybody that hasn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can come up here and stand. And folks, you know what? I used to feel weird. And don't worry about it. I used to feel weird when they said, how many of you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I felt weird. And going up there, what's going to happen? Well, I would tell you something. It's already in you. All we're asking for is a release. All we're asking for is that God just go ahead and use that gift, show you that the gift is there, so that you can be convinced that God has said, hey, you know what? I've given it to you. Can you say that? Can you agree with me that God gives us great things? The Holy Spirit is the greatest thing that we could receive. He is the helper, is what he is, the comforter, what the Word of God calls him. Oh, he is. What is he? He is that great I am. He is. Amen. Hallelujah. So if anybody hasn't been baptized, you can stand up front or you can stand where you're at. Pastor John. All we're going to do is just stretch out our hands over this side and over this side. We're just going to stretch out our hands. And we're going to believe that those of you... Oh, sorry, God's saying that. Listen, Stella has been preaching wisdom in the women's thing. We're going to a men's advance. We're going to a men's advance, and that is men of wisdom. God is saying wisdom comes by the Holy Ghost. Okay? And the church today needs this thing to operate it. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Don't worry about interpretation, folks. I just got through telling you a thing. Hallelujah. Pastor John, hallelujah. Need a mic. They're bringing it to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hey, can you kill these lights right here? The bar lights. Turn off the screens. Put the screens off. Glory to God. Back ones. I pray after you, Pastor.
Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord.
Flow through here, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, flow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just tell him thank you. This is thank you, Lord.
Pastor Henry mentioned earlier that the Spirit is inside of you. It's already there. You got to give him permission to move. Give him permission to flow. Don't hold back. Do not hold back the Spirit. He wants to flow through you. Allow that to happen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Father. Father, in this house, from this side of the building to that side, Lord, a fresh anointing of your Spirit, Lord. A fresh anointing of your Spirit over your people, Lord. Hallelujah. Let it, if it doesn't come now, Lord, bring it in today, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise
Thank
God.
You. Have your way,
Praise
Lord.
Praise God.
Your will be done,
Amen.
Father.
Amen.
Your will be done, God.
Raise your voices to
Glory
the heavens.
To God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Glory
Thank you, Lord.
To you.
Hallelujah. His work. His work. His work. His work. His work, Father. Mm. Folks, it's His work. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, yeah. Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Listen, listen, listen. In the quiet of where you're at, wherever you're at, just open your heart to the Lord. Some of you folks that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have, and you say, yeah, I was, but I had never done it again. The Holy Spirit is saying, go, man. The Holy Spirit is saying, allow me to work in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to close this. Father, we thank you for all that you've done this morning. And Lord, your people heard what you wanted them to hear, God. Lord, we honor you for your word. You said that whosoever believes in you will have rivers of living water. Let those rivers come forth. Let the rivers come forth, even if it's a very small rill or a small stream, but let it come forth. Let me just say this to you. I live out in Elephant Head, and when I bought the property and the well was there, the man that was running the mine, the water system for the mine, he told me, when you get here, water everything. Water the trees, water everything. And you know, most of us, we're raised to conserve water. Can you say amen? And then some, and you folks that don't have a well, you pay for your water. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, water and everything could be a little, but this is what this man told me. He says, because your well is brand new. You see, at the mine, see, I've got an inch and a half pipe going down into the ground to pick up my water. At the mine, they've got 12-inch pipes going down into the water, going down into the earth, drawing the water out. This man told me, he says, Henry, in 5 years, you won't be able to use as much water as they pull out in a week. That's how much water the mine is pulling out, FICO is pulling out, Thomas Arita is pulling out all this water. So what he told me, he says, water everything. Because what it will do for your well, it will begin, first of all, anything that is there right after the drilling, it's going to wash it out. The water will get cleaner. And then from there, the water, even the smallest crevice or wherever the water is coming to your well in, it will begin to flow through there and it'll run. It'll go more and more and more. Keep pulling water. Keep pulling. Whatever you do, just keep pulling water. I've had people all around me in better positions than where I have, where their wells have broken down. They've gone dry on them. But my well, it's running great. It is pumping. I mean, I had a neighbor come in. A new neighbor was buying a property, and I know you guys want to go home, but let me just hear. A new neighbor was buying a piece of property right up from us. He was on our well because it's a co-op well. I shouldn't say my well, but I call it my well. But anyway, the bank said you have to have the well checked. All right, so they sent this company from Tucson. They came down. They said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to disconnect your well from your pump, and we're going to pump out water for 45 minutes. I go, what? Hey, in my heart, I'm saying, hey, that's just going to help it. Well, and what they do is they drop a line down there, and they find the level. And what they want to do is they find out how far it drops in so many minutes. They did that. They turned it on. A good well will drop 3 inches, is what he told me. A bad well will drop right away in the 45 minutes. When they sounded my well, they were in there 30 minutes, and he goes, you've gone down a half an inch. I think we're going to button it up. You got a great well. Yeah, come on, man. I'm telling you this because the more you use this gift, the stronger it'll get. It will come flowing quicker and better and better and quicker. And the understanding will come quicker and better because you're flowing in the gift. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. I'm going to release you. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would just continue your work in our lives, God. In Jesus' name, I pray this morning. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Hug somebody, love them up, and say, hey, good to see you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.